Are you glad you're here today? Okay, there are like five people right over here that are glad, and some of you on this side aren't sure yet. Are you glad you're here today? Listen, there's no better place to start this year out, no better place than here at the house of the Lord. I'm glad you're here. I'm hoping that we're going to see you a lot in the coming year, because I think that God's up to something pretty amazing. I think that 2015 is going to be a great year. I know a lot of people have said to me that 2014 maybe didn't land exactly where they had hoped it would. And so now they're making some resolutions. Anybody here make resolutions? Anybody do the resolution thing? Yes. Somebody. I said that in the first service, and somebody over here said, we've learned better. But really, resolutions are nothing more than, it's really goal setting. It's setting ahead. And the reason why we do that, I think on some level, is because we know that maybe there are some things that we could have done better in 2014. Maybe some things that we'd like to see accomplished in 2015. It's a place of hope that maybe that we'll move forward, use a football term, to move the ball down the field a little bit in 2015. No one comes into a new year. No one comes into a new year saying, man, I'm hoping this next year is mediocre. I hope at the end of next year, and 52 weeks from now, I hope I'm more frustrated than I am right now. And I hope that anything that's good in my life today will have evaporated and my life will be sadder than... No one does that. And the reason why is because it's a new page. It's a new opportunity. It's maybe really a great time for us to look forward. The other thing that we don't do is no one sets there are some goals that no one sets. And even though they might be meritable, no one sets the goals like, I'm not going to rob a bank this year. You know? No, even that might be meritable. Maybe somebody here needs to set that goal. I don't know. I don't know everything, but you know. No one really sets the goal of I'm not going to commit adultery this year, because for the most part, those things are really not on the scope for us. Like, we're not really thinking that, like, it's not a goal that we would or we wouldn't. But most of the time, what happens in our lives, what happens in your life and my life is that it's not that we're going out and we're going to do something really bad, we're going to do something really risky. Most of us are really not in danger of ruining our lives with some fatal decision or some, again, going out and committing adultery. We're not there. But most of the time in our lives, in your life, in my life, we face the greater danger of simply wasting our lives. That we settle to live a life that is mediocre, that we settle that the energy, the work, or whatever it is that's going to take us to move forward in the next year, that it's just not worth that effort, that we're okay, we'll just stay right where we are, and consequently, we end up just plodding along in the routine of life every day. And, you know, I hate to say this, for most people, we hope something good will happen, but for the most part, we're just waiting for our life to be over. That's really not the idea that God ever had for our lives. It's really not the idea that God ever had for your life. Jesus said this in John the 14th chapter and the 12th verse. And there's a handout if you want to follow along with me today. It's a statement that's always kind of shocked me and confused me, confounded me on some level. Here's what it says, John 14, verse 12. And this is concerning you and concerning me. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me, listen to it again, anyone who has faith in me, he doesn't qualify it even as great faith. He says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Well, now that's really a statement already that we will do. If you have any level of faith in Jesus, you'll do what he has been doing. You know, it makes me start to question. It makes me question my life. am I doing the Jesus thing? It makes me question what our church does. It makes me question the direction of who we are and where we're going. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And then listen to these words. And he will do even greater things. Somebody say greater things. Greater things because I'm going to the Father. Now, you know what that means? That there's some indication that him going to the Father has something to do with this. Well, when he went to the Father, do you know what he did when he went to the Father? He sent the Holy Spirit to us. And so in this, there is a statement here that if we have faith in him, we're going to do greater things. It's not that we're going to be greater than Jesus. It means that through him, there's greater things for us to do. Through him, there's a greater place of life than where you are right now. God has something greater for you than the place that you are right now. There's another level. There's another place. He will do even greater things. I want you to say greater things. I don't ask you to repeat stuff a lot, but will you say it again? Greater things. Will you just say this? God has greater things for me. I think that you're here today, and many of us, you come because you have a sense that God has something greater ahead for you, that there's still something of destiny yet ahead for you. And yet we settle into year after year after year doing the very same activities, year in, year out, and we have great challenges ahead of us. We have great things that God wants to do, and that means that we're going to have great victories and great achievements, greater than we even imagined. The Bible actually says that he will do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. As much as I think that God wants to do, he wants to do more. Exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And I have to tell you, ask or think, I have a pretty vivid imagination. I can ask for a lot. I can think of a lot of stuff. And you know what? God has prepared for us even more than what we ask or think. He has something greater planned for us. And I think that God wants to accomplish a greatness in your life. I think that God wants to accomplish a greatness in your life in this coming year that is completely outside of the reach of where you are right now. But God has been moving you towards it all along. We're going to take a look at a story in the Old Testament today, and it involves two characters, two men by the name, one by the name of Elijah and one by the name of Elisha. Elijah is a spokesperson of God to the nation of Israel. He is someone who's seen God do some amazing stuff. And now God has him going in a direction. It might not look like God has him going in a direction, but he does. And let me give you the background of this story. Right before this passage, Elijah, who is the older gentleman, he is a prophet of God. He has just had a confrontation with the king and his wife. His wife is a famous woman by the name of Jezebel. She was treacherous. And Elijah, he calls their hand and says, listen, God wants to have battle with you, and he calls down fire out of heaven and consumes the gods, the prophets, their graven images. He consumes them with fire. And Jezebel, when she hears about what's taking place, she's infuriated. She puts a contract out on his life. She puts a death threat out against him. Now, this is a man who has just really seen something miraculous take place. And you know what he does? He runs. He's afraid, and he turns, and man, he starts running for his life. In fact, the Bible actually tells us he ran 200 miles. I mean, that's saying something. You know, for me, I'm like, I got to the end of the block, and I don't see her. That's scared to run 200 miles. Now, you would think that in that place, what a disappointment from God he'd be. And, you know, that there'd be a reprimand from God, and God wouldn't use him in that kind of condition. But you know what God does? He begins to speak to him about someone else. He begins to speak to him about the second character in our story, and that guy's name is Elisha. The prophet is Elijah. The younger man is Elisha. And there's an interesting story about him, and we're going to take a moment and we're going to look at this because Elijah is called to go and visit Elisha. And when he finds him, Elisha is not looking for a prophet. He's doing his everyday living. He's going to his job every day, and Elijah shows up. And when he shows up, something happens, and there is an invitation that is extended to Elisha for a greater life. So here's the thing that I'm going to ask you to fill this in. The first thing that takes place is there's an invitation to a higher calling. Elijah shows up and he has a shawl. It was called a mantle. And even still to this day, women wear, they call them mantles, and they're a shawl. And it kind of represents some things. In biblical days, sometimes it would be made of fur. And he shows up, but it also represented some level of responsibility. It represented an office. It represented maybe their family status, but in the case of Elijah, it was a prophet, and he wears this shawl, and when he shows up, he sees Elisha, and he takes off his shawl, and he puts his shawl around Elisha's shoulders. And that actually means that there's a transfer that's taking place, that he's transferring responsibility, the responsibility that I've been wearing, the things that I've been doing, what I've been doing in my life, I'm taking this and I'm putting it on your shoulders. Often we hear about that a mantle falls from a father to a son. Or in a business, there's a new CEO that's selected and the mantle is now on his shoulder. We still use that term, but they don't take the shawl off anymore. Elijah shows up and he has an impetus from God. There's a drive in him from God to find Elisha and tell him that God has something greater for him. Here's the first thing that takes place. There's an invitation that is extended to a higher calling. You see, when you look at Elisha's life, here's what it says in verse 19 of 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. Now, where does he find him? He finds him on his job. He finds him behind oxen on a plow. Now, the remarkable thing about this is Elisha wasn't looking for this. He had no idea that God was already working on something in his life. Elisha was going about his everyday business, and yet God was up to something. In fact, I'd like to say it this way. God was conspiring in the heavens about Elisha's future. Elisha didn't know it, but God was up to it. And many times in your life and my life, we're just doing the everyday stuff. We're going to the job. It just looks like monotony. It looks like the everyday things, it's mediocre. But while we're in the middle of all of that, listen, God's up to something. You might feel like you're stuck where you are, but God's up to something. You might feel like God has forgotten you, that he has no idea where you are, but God's up to something. You might not even feel like there's something great in front of you, but I have to tell you, God's up to something. He has something great ahead for you. And so Elisha shows up, and you have to start to think about what Elisha's life was looking like. Here he is. He's the 12th man in a train of oxen. Each set had two oxen and a plow. He's the 12th set. So in front of him are 24 oxen. Now, will you just take a moment and think about what the sights and sounds and smells that Elisha had to go through every day? He did this day in and day out. And honestly, if you think you have to step through some stuff on your job, if you think that you're walking through something, think about what he's walking through. If you think going to your job looks like there's no vision ahead of you, imagine what he had to look at every day. This is what his life looks like. And while he was doing that, God was conspiring to do something greater in Elisha's life. As we see in this story, and I have to tell you, many times we start to talk about greater, and greater gets confusing sometimes, because a lot of times we start to think that greater means better, that we're going to get better, that we're going to get better houses, that we're going to get better cars, that we're going to get better jobs, that we're going to get better spouses. Listen, maybe God's not going to give you a better job. He might not give you a better salary, but he might want you to show up on your job every day and demonstrate the greatness of the glory of God right where you are. He may not get, in fact, I can tell you, he's probably not going to give you another spouse. He may want you to go home every day and demonstrate the great love of God to that individual, where they start to see that greatness and they start to realize that God has something great for them too. You see, it may not be better, but it can be greater. God doesn't necessarily want to move you away from where you are and do something else. Maybe he wants you to just be great right where you are. God has something great for you. Maybe he's not challenging you to step out and start a church and be a preacher, because a lot of times we start to send, you could misunderstand this. That great means that, you know, you're going to quit your job and you'll be like Pastor Paul and start a church and you'll have a handful of people and then more people will come and then eventually you'll do three services. And honestly, I love doing what I do. I love this church. I love you. And it's honestly, this is not about the job for me. It's not about the ministry for me. It's about you. And a lot of times you'll hear preachers talk and you'll think that ministry and greatness actually means that, you know, you'll get to preach somewhere and you'll be on a stage and have a microphone in your hand and that that accounting job that you have is a waste of time and that place where that you work is a waste of time and you won't be great until you're in the ministry. I have to tell you, that's a misunderstanding. That has nothing to do with greatness. God can use you in a great way right where you are. Amen. And so maybe you're one of the individuals here today that you've been living through life. You've been going through circumstances. Another year has come and another year has passed. And at the end of this year, maybe you're sensing some frustration and you're sensing maybe some complacency. Or you even feel like your life has just settled in to be mediocre. Maybe it's not just your job and your family, but even your spiritual walk, it's just mediocre. Today, I want to talk to you for just a few moments. For those of individuals that you're here today and you know, you sense in your heart that there's something greater than this. I want to talk to you today and I want to challenge you and tell you, yes, indeed, there's something greater. And I think there's a path to get to greater. We're going to start that path today and we're going to talk to you for these next few weeks. That God has a higher calling on you, that God has something greater that he wants to do inside of you. And just in the very same way that Elijah's mantle hit Elisha's shoulders, you know what that's the reference to in our lives? The mantle of Jesus is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that God wants to send the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know that if you're saved, that the Holy Spirit lives in you. But I have to tell you, there are some times when I think that we need the power of the Holy Spirit to come and quicken us and waken us, and that we understand that he's working in us and he can do something great right where we are. And that takes the Holy Spirit for our hearts to be awakened and tuned to the great thing that he wants to do in us. He wants to do that in you. He wants his Spirit to move on you and in you and work in you in a greater way. Elijah hits Elisha with his mantle. And then all of a sudden, Elisha is awakened to a brand new thing. It's a new life. I know that there are some preachers that they would love to tell you, and I listen to preachers on TV and radio very rarely anymore because they frustrate me. They just do. Because there are so many mixed messages out there, and I don't know in the idea of most preachers what great looks like. Some preachers would tell me that great is that I get a bigger house, that I get a bigger car, that I get a, I get a bigger bank account. And that's great. It's a greater life. The reality is that's not necessarily greater. It's just bigger. And then there are some other preachers that they would preach that a great life is really a life where we sell all that stuff and we devote ourselves to the poor and where we devote ourselves to maybe go to Africa and help those with Ebola. And honestly, in my heart, like, I don't really feel tuned to either of those things. I don't necessarily feel like God's calling me to be live in some McMansion, and I don't feel like he's calling me to go to Africa. And so when they say that those are the goals, that's kind of off the mark, and I start to wonder, well, then maybe I'm missing the mark here. Maybe greatness is something else, and the reality about it is if I pursue those things, they just frustrate me. And I think that there are individuals here today, you're in that very same place because you know that it's not those things, but God still has something yet ahead for you that's great. And so today, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you that you were meant for more than the life that you live right now. That you were meant for more than the mediocre place maybe that you've resigned yourself to. You were meant for more than even the place in the spirit that you are right now. God has something greater ahead. And I think that as you move forward in God, you're going to start to see God do something that you would not have even thought about. It's not even on your radar. You're going to impact people. You're going to impact places. You're going to impact students. You're going to impact organizations in such a way that you don't even think about that now. You have a dream that maybe hopefully you could do something, but you don't even know what it looks like. It's too vague for you. I think that there are moms in this church that you know that there's something that God has down inside of you, that you know that you're dreaming for your family and you're dreaming for your kids. I got to thinking about this the other day, that there's ladies on Pinterest. I don't fully understand Pinterest, but I know that it's a place where ladies go and dream. You know? You dream about the place where you want to bring up your kids and the lifestyle you want your kids to have and the things you want to do for your kids, and you pin those things. And while you're doing those things, you know, your kids are behind you screaming and crying, and you're like, would you get away from me? I'm dreaming about the life I want for you, you know? I mean, but that's kind of the way where we are. It's like we're conflicted. We know that there's something out in front of us, and yet at the same time, we have to deal with the frustration of where we actually are. I think that we can't afford to forget that God has something greater for mom to do with those kids. That there's something greater that he wants to work. There's something greater that he wants to do with the businessman. And that he doesn't want you to settle. God doesn't want you to settle for just being good enough. There's a life ahead for you. See, God doesn't just call you into a higher calling. There's a cost that comes with the higher calling. If you're going to be the great person that God has for you to be, there's something that comes with that. It's an invitation, not just a higher calling, but there's an invitation to surrender. There's an invitation to surrender from your agenda and take hold of God's plan and God's agenda. And see, God's not going to start anywhere else. He's not going to do anything else but where you are. He's going to come and visit you, and he's going to allow his spirit to lay on you like a mantle and touch you and awaken your heart that there's something yet ahead for you, but it's going to cost you something. And see, all of us, we want the greater life. There isn't anybody here today that put their hand up like, no, I don't want a greater life. But the greater life that God has for us that's beyond our imagination, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us some deep surrender. I'm going to read the next verse. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. He says, "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye." And he said, "Then I will come and follow you." He's not having second thoughts about following Elisha. He's not having second thoughts about this mantle, this greatness that God has ahead for him. Do you know what he's doing here? He's about to leave nothing to go back to. He's about to close the door because the call that's on his life is huge. And he knows that he's going to have to close the door to circumstances behind him. And some of them are good. It's his mother and father. But he knows that he's going to have to let go of that to move forward in God's plan. That he's going to have to say goodbye to everything. I think that there are some people that maybe misunderstand salvation. I think maybe we misunderstand it sometimes. You see, salvation isn't going to a church and maybe raising your hand, and I'm glad people do that. We invite them to do that. But see, salvation isn't about raising your hand and getting counted a number and filling out a card or joining a church. Salvation is really about saying goodbye to the life that you currently live. Salvation is about that God has a greater plan for you, and it's maybe not exactly where you are right now. There's something deeper. There's something better. There's a greater place of surrender, and you might have to kiss some things goodbye in order for you to get where God wants you to go. I think that many times that we don't fully understand that salvation means that Jesus, I'm going to follow you. That Jesus, I'm going to live for you. And nothing's going to be as important in my life as you. In fact, I'm going to follow the greater thing. I'm going to follow that greater plan for my life. And actually, Jesus, you are the greater thing. There's nothing greater than you. So Elijah says to Elisha, "Go back. What have I done to you?" And I mean, those are serious words. Go back. What have I done to you? Elijah knows that what Elisha has to do is serious. He's saying, God called you, and you're going to have to do some serious soul searching here. Verse number 21. So Elisha left him and went back, and he took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. And then listen to this, and this is the point of the whole sermon today. Listen to this. This is what he does next, and this is where I really want you to land today. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Now, I can understand killing the animals and giving the meat away, but he burns his plow. The very thing that he was doing, and it's not a bad thing, but it would be the thing that would connect him back. It would be the thing that he would go back to. It would be the lifestyle that he would go back to. It would be the thing that would hold him where he is. And he picks up some matches and he burns it to the ground. And he's essentially saying, I have nothing to go back to. I have no place to go except forward to the greater call that Jesus has for my life. And I would tell you today that there are people here today that you want the greater life, but you want to reach forward and dream about the greater life, but you want to hold on to the plow. You want to hold on to the lifestyle. You want to hold on to the relationships. You want to hold on to the fear. You want to hold on to the hatred and the unforgiveness. The very things that keep you right where you are, you want to hold on to those, and yet you still want the dream. And you know what? I think there's somebody here today that you're going to have to pick up some spiritual masters, and you're going to have to burn that plow to the ground. I think there's some people that are going to have to burn some lifestyles down. I think there's people here today, and I know that this is tough. Welcome to 215. God has a greater plan for your life. I think there are some people here today, you're going to have to delete some people out of your telephone There are some people today, you're going to have to go and unfriend on Facebook. There are some of you who are going to have to go home and pack your bags and move out of the person that you're living with, because that's not God's plan for your life to start with. Say amen. I'm not just going to go there. I'm going to say there are some people here today, you need to burn the plow of hatred and vengeance and revenge and bitterness. You need to burn those things. Because see, they tie you to where you were, and God has a place for you to go forward. And so today, I'm going to challenge you. You could spend the next 52 weeks and come back here next year and have somebody talk to you again about a greater life. But you could make some decisions today that God's calling you today. He's calling you today to a greater walk, a greater life. And he's calling you and he's calling me because, see, there's places in my life that I need to pick up some spiritual matches and burn those places down. Whew. And so here's what it says. He set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. When I was growing up, we used to sing a song, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back." Maybe we need to burn the roads, the things that tie us, to turn back. No turning back. There's a verse in that old song that says, "The world behind me, the cross before me." The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. Here's what Jesus said, Luke 9 chapter. "If any man comes after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Yeah, there's a greater life. Listen, there's a greater life for you. And you could decide, honestly, you could decide to stay, and I'm just going to stay where I am, and I'm going to live with the same sights and sounds and scenes that what I've looked at for the last how many ever years. Or you can decide, there's a day, and today is the day to burn those things down and move forward to the great life that God has for you. When I was a teenager, I kind of sensed early in my life that there was a call of God on my life. And I have to tell you, the call of God on my life isn't because I pastor a church. I'd live for God if I worked at Kmart. Honestly, I'd serve God if I worked for the water company. There was a day in my life where I had to decide whether I was going to be rich or poor or famous or not famous, that I wasn't going to use any of those things as excuses to go back to the world. And there was a day in my life, in my spiritual walk, in the middle of doubts and confusion and not knowing what God was going to do in my life, and I couldn't really see it, but I knew that there was something inside of me that was calling me forward, and I knew that I couldn't get to it if I held on to what was behind me. And I had to say, okay, God, I'm going to just burn that stuff down, and I'm going to commit myself to you and you alone, and I'm going to follow you. And I wonder today, honestly, I wonder today, if I wouldn't have done that day, if I'd be here in front of you today. I wonder if I wouldn't have done that on that day, if any of the people that I've had the opportunity to affect in my life, that I would have ever been able to step into that if I wouldn't have burned those things down on that day. See, there's a call to a greater surrender in our lives, because there's a call to greater things. And just let me just tell you today, that God never calls you to lay something down. God never calls you and takes something away without giving you something greater in return. He has a great life for you. I'm going to pray with you in these next few moments. And maybe there's someone here today, you've never turned your life over to Christ. We're going to give you the opportunity to do that today. But maybe there's some Christians here today and you've just lived maybe kind of settling for mediocre, settling for just enough to be a Christian. God has something greater for you. He wants to do something in the life where you are. And in order to get that, you're going to have to make a decision. When you leave here today, we got every person a book of matches. Now, I don't want you to go home and burn your house down. My pastor said, burn it down. This is going to be a reminder that God has a greater call on your life. And you can't get there without closing the door. Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I know that there are people here today that you've called to be here at this place today. It's not by chance that they're here. You've put it down inside, even when they didn't even know. Before they even imagined that you wanted to do something in their life, there was something that was pulling them forward, and it was you. It was your spirit calling them to a greater life, and they might not have even known even to this moment. And now their eyes have been opened, and I ask you, God, that they'll have the courage and the boldness to say, I'm going to lay aside that stuff. I'm going to lay aside my hurt, my anger, my reason to stay where I am, my reason for bitterness, my reason to continue to do the life experience that I've been doing that just isn't going to keep me moving towards greatness. I'm asking you, dear Lord, that you'll give them the courage to lay it down today and pick up the mantle that you have for their life. Lord, I know in this place today you're calling people to greatness. And man, they've been running so hard. And today is the day of destiny in their life. And I'm asking you that you'll do a work that only your spirit can do. Lay your spirit, lay your mantle on them today and call them, call them, call them to the life that you have for them. And give them the courage to walk away from the life that they're in now. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Maybe if you've never received Christ as your Savior, today's the day to do that. Will you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your only Son, that he lived and died and rose from the dead to give me a new life. So today I receive the life of Christ. I lay down my life and I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Save me, Lord, and from this day forward, I'll follow you.